Good morning. We're glad you've been able to join with us this morning. We're here on behalf of Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church, and we bid you very welcome. My name is Raymond Morrow, and I am a fourth year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible, and I belong to our Auchnacloy congregation. This morning, I would like you to turn with me, please, in God's word to the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah and the 40th chapter. Our reading this morning is quite lengthy, but I ask you please to follow along with me. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. And the word of God says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out of their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong is in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. And we do know that the Lord will bless the reading of his own inerrant word. Before we come to look into the word, let us come and bow together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help even upon us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence again this morning. And Lord, we give thee thanks for your goodness, your mercy, your love towards us, even this day already. Lord, we thank you for so many blessings that we have enjoyed from your hand. Lord, for the comfort, the warmth, the clothing, the food that we have, Lord, for our homes. And Lord, to thee we are grateful. Lord, we thank thee especially for the gift of your only begotten Son. And Lord, we thank you for salvation full and free. Lord, we thank you for your word that we have before us, Lord, in our own mother tongue. Lord, we can meet together in such a way as this, even, Lord, in times of difficulty across the internet. And Lord, we pray that as we are gathered together this morning, each one in our own homes, Lord, that we would know your help and your undertaking, that we would know your blessing and your presence with us. And Lord, we pray that as we look into your word, Lord, that you would give preacher and hearer alike a clear understanding. Lord, that we would know the presence of thy Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would have a word in season for each one of us. Lord, whether it be a word of encouragement or challenge or rebuke, Lord, we pray that we would know your presence. Lord, we do pray for our land at this time. Lord, we think of those that are sick with this virus. Lord, we pray that you would be near unto them, that you would bless them, that you would help them. Lord, we pray that standing in the shadows that they would find thee. Lord, we pray that thou would save souls even during this time. Lord, we pray for others that, Lord, are feeling the pressure of being shut in. Lord, we pray especially this morning for those that mourn. Lord, we would even remember the Smith family and that connection up there in Bush Mills. Lord, our thoughts and our prayers go out to that family. Lord, we pray that you would draw especially near unto them. Lord, that they would know your help. Lord, others across our land, Lord, we think of loved ones, we think of those that in recent days have went through difficult times. Lord, we pray that you would draw near unto them. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. But Lord, we pray that even at this time that you would come and move by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would draw souls unto yourself. And Lord, that your church would be built up. Lord, we pray that you would continue with us now, for it's in Jesus' name that we would ask these things. Amen. As we come to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning, we must consider the background in which it is set. There is a considerable interval between the preceding chapter, chapter 39, and this chapter, chapter 40, which we have just read. The Jews are now nearing the end of their long and bitter sufferings, and the fiery trials have, as it were, done their work. And so the word of the Lord comes again to the prophet Isaiah. And we see the chapter begin with those beautiful verses. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And so from the outset we see that this is a chapter of comfort. We need not only the assurance of forgiveness, but we need some knowledge of the way in which we can have and obtain that comfort. That comfort that is only found in Christ as Saviour and Lord. And we need to see the grounds in what on which it is based. Our hearts are never truly comforted until we learn that God is faithful and just, and he forgives our sin. Here we have comfort because God is on his way to deliver his people. Be of good cheer, the prophet says. God shall come with a strong hand. See the mountains become a way. He makes the crooked straight, and the rough way is made smooth. The glorious Lord comes to deliver the afflicted from their strong oppressor, and all flesh shall see it together. Comfort, because the strong deliverer has a tender heart. He comes as a mighty one, but feeds his flock like a shepherd. Strong and sweet, mighty and merciful, the everlasting Father, but the Prince of Peace, whose arms sustain the universe, and yet they gather those wandering, straying lambs and sheep to himself. Comfort, because he faints not, neither is weary. Oh, we may tire after a while. Physical strength droops and declines. Time may seem long. Those of our family and friends may seem out of reach, and so much more in the situation we find himself. But the Lord remains. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. This morning, as we come to this passage, I would like to consider in particular verses 28 to 31. And I would like to consider comfort for the despondent believer. Comfort for the despondent believer. There are times when we all need encouragement, and perhaps now more so than we have had need of in a long time. We can all lose sight of the path before us, some perhaps to a greater degree than others. But when we are cast down or despondent, we can look to the God of all comfort for our help. In verses 28 to 31, I would like us to consider some simple points. Firstly, I would like us to see that we have here in this passage a timely reminder. We read those words in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And the question goes on. We all need reminded sometimes. It may be of a past event that is perhaps long forgotten. Or maybe it is of some simple thing that has slipped our mind. Maybe, men, it would be for a simple thing like perhaps picking up the children from school or bringing home something from the shop if we were in town. I know I sometimes forget, and perhaps a phone call comes from the school. I can almost see many of the ladies here smiling and looking at their husband at this point. In our passage, the prophet asked twice the question, first in verse 21 and then again in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Oh, as if this people needed reminded again. They have been through trial and difficulty. But what was it that they needed reminded of? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Oh, this people know that there is a creator God, but they live, as one commentator suggests, as practical atheists. Friends, how easy it is to believe in the infinite power of God, and yet at the same time, live day by day as though he were unable to meet our personal needs. And we struggle on our own. We try to overcome the trials, the difficulties, the situations that we find ourselves in. Was this not why Peter encouraged the believers to humble themselves and to cast all their care upon him? For he careth for us. Oh, so often we bring our prayer to the Lord and we cast it at his feet, but as we rise from our knees, we pick it up again and take it with us. Well, let us cast our care upon the Lord and leave it there. This people needed reminded that God was eternal. Oh, he was from everlasting to everlasting. We think of those words in Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created. He was there from the beginning of time, and he is there for all eternity. Friends, we cannot fathom the eternality of God. The psalmist writes, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Peter in his second epistle exhorts the believers to be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But they also needed reminded that God was unchangeable. He who is from everlasting to everlasting is unchangeably the same, whose name alone is the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent and all-comprehending one. James speaks of the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Has God changed? He delivered and saved in the past. Will he now forsake his own? We called out and he heard our cry. Will his ear now be closed? Friend, we change. We are up and down like yo-yos often in our spiritual pilgrimages. But praise God, he changes not. I'm sure we're all familiar with those words that are found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Praise God, he changes not. They need a reminder that God was sovereign. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. The God of the world, he who spoke it into being, upholds it and governs it and judges it righteously. He knows and will take care of his own people. Because he is unchangeable, his sovereignty will not and cannot change. He rules over all creation and all the affairs of men with the same power and energy as he did in the day when he created all things from nothing. And when he walked in the garden with Adam. Friends, we grow tired of our labours, but God does not weary. In verse 23, we see the Lord's rule over sinful man. He never wearies of bringing their works to naught or punishing sinful rebellion. And yet in verse 11, how different is the description of the Lord's dealings with his people. There we read, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Praise God, the Lord is our shepherd and we are his flock. And as sheep we are prone to wander, and yet he never wearies of gathering us back to himself and leading us gently on with tender care. Oh, how can we comprehend it? Who can fathom the mind of the Lord? But secondly, we can note that in this, in these verses, we find a powerful renewing. A powerful renewing. In verse 29, we read, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Verse 31 tells us that the Lord renews our strength. We all grow weak and tired, and we often faint. But there is hope for each believer when the going gets tough. If we are all honest, I don't think anyone would say that they are on the mountaintop every hour of every day. Oh, far from it. In our passage is the illustration used of the young, those with energy and zeal, those who thought themselves strong and yet they find themselves weak. The verse in the original speaks of those who are involved in the most vigorous type of work or exercise. Those around us, perhaps not so much in these days, but prior to lockdown, the gyms were full. People were seeking to build up their strength, build up their energy, to create a better lifestyle for themselves, to be fit. And yes, there's nothing wrong with that. And yet, even the fittest of men become weary. They will be worn down by fatigue or paralyzed by sickness or death. The pressures of life will still come upon them the same as they do with those who are weaker. This point I was trying to think of a practical example of this. And I look back to when my children were very young. And as they ran about around the garden, I would run about after them. And it wouldn't be long before I would begin to feel tired. And yet they seemed to have so much energy that it just went on and on. And even it's so now in the times that we're in. For those of us that are at home and we're trying to look after the children, we're trying to do housework, perhaps do homeschooling. And when it's all done, we're weary. And yet the children seem just to go on and on and on. We just sigh for perhaps those moments when we're able to put them to bed and get a bit of peace and quiet, lie back and draw breath. We've grown weary. We all use that well-worn phrase, perhaps, "I'm not as young as I used to be." But here in verse 29 and 30, we see a stark contrast between that of verse 28. In verse 28, we see that the Lord is unchangeable and all-powerful. He will not grow faint, nor will he weary. And yet we see here that man is changeable and powerless. He faints and he wearies in all areas of his life. The power of God is unexhausted and inexhaustible. Man becomes exhausted and helpless. But there's a promise here from the Lord. And the promise is of power and of strength. The promise is of a renewing. Notice to whom God gives this power, this renewing. To the weak. And to those that have no might, he increases strength. Not to the proud nor the confident. Not to those who glory in their own wisdom and strength. But to those who humble themselves. Friends, when do we need this power and strength? We need it when we faint. We need it when the going gets tough. We need it when life presses upon us, when we become tired. We need it when trials come our way. It is not because of a lack of power on the part of God that he does not give us immediate release or relief from trial and tribulation. Rather, we have noticed who can understand the ways of the Lord. His understanding is infinite, and he is working out for his own good the time when he will pour upon us his blessings, and when he will permit affliction to fall upon us and oppress us, it is only to draw us closer to himself. Oh, we must learn the lesson put before Job, that we cannot fathom God's plans. Yet, we need to seek to submit to his providential dealings. It is easy when distress or suffering becomes prolonged to perhaps think that God has forgotten or is indifferent to that which we are going through. But he is always concerned about his children. And in his own time, he will give deliverance. But until then, his grace is sufficient, and it is able to sustain and strengthen our souls so that we may endure and see him who cannot be seen. It was this giving of power, this renewing of strength, that enabled Paul to glory in his infirmities. That power of Christ that would rest upon him. Friend, we need the power of Christ to rest upon us and to renew us. He will supply the renewing strength needed to meet every test that he permits you and I, believer, to face. But finally, let us see that there is a patience required. A patience required. Verse 31, we read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Mere natural and physical strength will not avail in the hour when one is called to face great tests and trials. When we need the renewing of strength, when we grow weary in life, we may ask the question, well, how do I access this? The answer is clearly given here. It is by simply trusting in the finished work of Christ and claiming the merits of his work on Calvary's cross, the shedding of his precious blood for all who will call upon him for salvation. Every blessing that the believer enjoys is a result of the finished work of Christ. His life of humiliation, his obedience, his atoning death, his glorious resurrection and ascension. Because he paid the price in full for our sins by his perfect obedience to the demands of the law, he is seated at the Father's side. And there he makes intercession for us. That is, he represents us as our great high priest and presents us spotless before the Father. And so our prayers are brought before the one who renews our strength through the work of the Holy Spirit. But the idea behind waiting on the Lord is not a passive sitting around until the Lord does something. Well, so often in life we have to wait. Perhaps we make arrangements to meet someone somewhere. And we arrive on time and we look at our watch and there's no sign of the other person. And we watch and time slips by. And we're sitting there as it were twiddling our thumbs and we don't know what to do with ourselves. The questions are being raised and remind, well, are they coming? Are they not coming? Are they going to arrive or do I just go home? What do we often do? We maybe after a period of time lift the phone and check. But how different is our waiting on the Lord? When we first came to the Lord in weakness, we repented of our sins and we received strength. And that strength is renewed as we wait on the Lord. That renewing is a meaning to put on afresh. And here it is to keep putting on fresh strength. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, as we seek his face, we seek to put on fresh strength. Many people today sadly claim to follow Christ, but they live lives as they want in so-called liberty, and yet they do not make him Lord of their lives. They do not want to wait patiently on him. Rather, they want to live as they please and expect him to be waiting to pull them out when things go wrong. Rather, it is us that must wait upon the Lord, not because he is ignorant of our calling, but rather because his time is perfect. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. It is only when we have learned to bring everything to God and to wait patiently for him and to continue bringing it to him that we will be given the strength needed to rise above our circumstances. How often we pray for something and we don't see the answer to our prayers in the time scale that we desire. And after a period of time, perhaps we stop praying for that thing. Friends, we need to wait patiently before the Lord, and we need to continue to bring before him again and again our prayers and petitions. And praise God, he is not weary of our oft times coming. As we wait on him, we will be enabled to rise heavenward as eagles facing the sun and be closer drawn to him. We will run our race with patience, enduring to the end. We will walk with God with renewing confidence and courage, knowing that we are the objects of his love and care. As we wait on him in patience, we are changed into his likeness, and we are delivered from a worry and fretfulness, knowing that God is never late, but that in his own time he will give the help that is needed. As we come to a close, let us remember that God has not changed. His word is sure. He still reigns and rules over all. He has not grown weary of answering our prayers, but his timing is perfect. And he has promised to renew our strength when we grow weary. But we must be faithful and wait upon him. Wait on in the place of prayer. Let us trust in the finished work of Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord. Let us remember what it cost the Saviour to purchase our salvation. And then let us repeat the words at the end of verse 9 with praise. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Praise God, he is still on the throne, and he is not weary. But if you're still unsaved, that is, you've never asked Christ to forgive your sin, and you're not resting fully on his work on Calvary's cross, but rather trusting in your own efforts, in your own good works, then remember that God has not changed. He is just and righteous and must be faithful to his word and punish sin. And that the punishment for sin, that is, any transgression, any breaking of the law of God, whatever and however small that sin may be, that the punishment is everlasting condemnation in a real place called hell. Yes, everlasting for all eternity. But his promise is still the same. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O friend, will you not call upon him today? Will you not know that peace firsthand that only he can bring, and that renewing of strength? Let us remember who God is, and let us wait upon him. Amen. We'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word to us again. Lord, we thank you that it is a light unto our path. Lord, that it guides us even in the darkness and in the difficulties. Lord, we pray this day that we would know your presence, your help, your undertaking with us. Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, draw us closer to yourself. Lord, we pray that we would wait on with thee. Lord, that we would know that renewed nearness, that that renewed strength which only you can bring. Lord, if there be one unsaved, Lord, we pray that you would speak to them. If there be one backslidden, cold of heart, Lord, struggling perhaps long, Lord, that they would return unto thee. And once again, that know that rest that only you can give. So continue with us, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.